Now, because of our geographical location in the North Atlantic, between the Arctic Circle and continental Europe, Ireland is perfectly placed to offer respite and wintering grounds to migrating birds. Indeed, our coastline and offshore islands host some of the world's largest and most spectacular breeding seabird colonies. And nowhere is this seen better than on Rathlin Island off the coast of Antrim. Northern Ireland's only inhabited offshore island, normally home to around 150 residents, sees tens of thousands of seabirds come ashore as they jostle for space to breed and raise their young. A unique and unforgettable sight which attracts visitors from far and wide. Some 20,000 people visited the Westlight Seabird Centre on the island last year, a huge number which could not have been facilitated without a great team of dedicated and passionate volunteers. And to make it all happen again this year, Rathlin is asking for your help and support. The Royal Society for the Protection of Birds is now recruiting this year's flock of volunteers. Colin Graham is the RSPB's Volunteering Development Officer for Northern Ireland, based in Beaver Forest Park in Belfast. And it was there I met him during the week.
Derek, if you look at this map, this really shows you where Rathlin is. Normally people like ourselves will be travelling up from Belfast, and you can go either way. You can either go up through the central area of Northern Ireland, up through Ballymena to Ballycastle, or you can take the actual gorgeous Antrim scenic route along the coast, which is absolutely a fantastic way to go up there, or you can come back that way. And then you'll find Rathlin off the Ballycastle coast. It's about 6 miles across to Rathlin. There's ferries running all day. You can either take the fast ferry, which takes you 25 minutes to get across, or the slower ferry, a bit bigger, 40 minutes to get across.
There are people living out there on Rathlin.
Absolutely. There's about 110 to about 130 people living on Rathlin now. Nowhere near the figures that it would have been in the olden days. But yeah, there's a very healthy community over on Rathlin. So that's all part of the adventure of going and seeing that community over there.
Now, at this time of year, how busy is it in terms of bird life?
You'll find that the guillemots are coming in. The guillemots come in very early and they look at where they can make their nests, see the available spots and sort of grab those available spots, and then they may disappear for a week or so and then come back in. And that's the charm of Rathlin. You never know what bird life is going to be there. Some days the stacks are full, other days there's not a bird about, but you never really know. But it's amazing how the different species of birds will come on specific days, like the puffins will have their sort of specific day, usually, that Rick and Hazel, who are our staff over there, will find that they come back pretty much on the same day every year.
Really?
Yeah.
And where are they
yeah.
coming from?
So they will come from the North Atlantic. So they spend their winter out in the North Atlantic in what they call rafts, which are big groups of puffins. They'll just be seaborne all that time.
Literally on the water.
Yep, absolutely. And then they will come in. 27th of March has been the day that they've come in the past 2 or 3 years. Same day each year, which is absolutely amazing. And again, part of the really interesting thing about Rathlin is seeing when those seabirds come back, and all the rest of the birds and the wildlife on the island as well. They have their own sort of clocks in their own heads. How they do it, we don't know. But regularly as clockwork, 27th seems to be the puffin day that they come back. And they might not stay, but that's the first day they're sighted.
And in terms of numbers and numbers of species and numbers of individuals, can you give me some idea?
Tens of thousands of seabirds will be there in spring and summer breeding on those cliffs, and that's the reason why they all come in. They come in to breed. As I say, they're marine-born birds, but they come in to the stacks to breed. So there's 5 main species that we would see on the stacks, and that would be the guillemot, which mm-hmm. is the common guillemot. And then there'll be razorbills, fulmers, kittiwakes, and the star of the show, the puffins.
Yeah. The puffins, yeah, indeed. Of course, they need somewhere to lay the eggs. They're all ground nesters, albeit on cliffs.
Yeah.
But they're not nesting in trees. They're not building nests per se. So can you describe their colony, what it would look like? Are they all nesting very closely to each other?
Yeah, they're all completely packed in. So on the stacks and the cliff faces, you'll see the guillemots and the razorbills and the fulmers and the puffins. Certainly the guillemots and the razorbills are absolutely chock-a-block there. So no space. They'll find that just the tiniest little platform on the cliff edge, and that's where they'll lay their one egg. And the fascinating thing about the eggs are that they're shaped on the size so that they don't roll off. They just roll around semicircles so they don't fall off. Puffins are slightly different in as much that they
go into a burrow.
Go into a burrow. So you don't see their egg laying or anything like that. You just have to wait until the chick comes out.
You've never thought of putting cameras in there, no?
No, it's. I think it's too invasive to do that.
Think of what you'd learn from what's going on inside.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It'd be a wonderful thing to be able to do, and maybe that's something to do for the future. Certainly on Rathlin, it would be a very precarious thing to do as well, to get down there to actually be able to do that. So,
why do they choose Rathlin? I mean, they could go anywhere.
They could, but I think it's the nature of the seabed and bringing up the currents within the waters around Rathlin.
Lots of food.
And lots of food comes in. And the food sources are one of the major problems with seabirds at the present time. With the possible climate changes and the warming of the seas, you know, their food isn't so readily available. And the further they have to travel to get the food, then the greater the risk to their chicks because of the length of time that they're away from the nest. So that all has its difficulties for them.
Now, the reason I'm here today is you want to put a call to action. You're yes. looking for volunteers yep. to come and work with you guys throughout the spring and summer months. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a fascinating place to be any time of the spring and the summer because you see so many different things going on, so much different bird life. And it changes day by day. We have facilities on the island for up to eight volunteers to come and volunteer as our people engagement volunteers through the summer. We have a really good uptake of volunteers through the summer months. So when we come to June, July, August, we've usually got a lot of people applying mm-hmm. for it. And they come across, stay for 2 weeks with us, and they stay in the camping barn. So we put them up free of charge. They cater for themselves, but they get the accommodation free of charge. Start on a Monday, finish a fortnight later.
You don't pay them
Monday.
Any money?
Don't pay them any money, pure volunteers. But they love the experience. They get the chance to see island life really up close and personal.
And if I were to volunteer, what would I be doing in those 2 weeks?
So people engagement, as I say. So you would be the ears and the eyes of the RSPB. You would be welcoming people to the Seabird Centre and telling them what they're looking at, being on reception and then being down on the viewing platform and saying, pointing out all the wildlife that's there, everything about the seabirds.
So I'd have to know my birds, wouldn't I?
You'd learn pretty quickly. And there's always people who know the answers if you don't. So we don't like people to sort of try and make up things. And people are very knowledgeable. You do pick it up very quickly, especially the top five birds that we've listed already there for you. People absolutely love it, though. It's a great opportunity. We don't work people too hard. If they're there for 2 weeks, then they'll get 3 or 4 days off. That gives them the opportunity to look around the island. And when they're on the island, our staff there, Hazel, she's the manager, she's absolutely brilliant. And Rick is also there. And they will show the wildlife of the island off to its best. So not just the birds, but everything else that is on the island. You know, those volunteers will have the chance to see.
So who normally volunteers? What type of person?
Anybody from 18 to 84, I think, is the eldest gentleman we've had. As long as you're fit enough to get up and down about 90 steps to get down to the viewing platform, then we're happy to take you on. You have to be 18, but there's no upper age limit as long as you're reasonably fit and healthy.
I'm not sure I'd make 90 steps. Can you describe the lay of the land there?
The visitor centre is at the top. And then you have a viewing platform at the top, but you can't see too much from there. So you need to go down 98 steps down to the viewing platform by the lighthouse. And that gives you an absolutely fantastic view of the sea stacks where all the birds are. And the birds are just there. You're looking down on them.
Mm.
It's a real auditorium. You get all the senses hit by sight, smell and sound as well. Come the summer, the smell can be a little bit ripe sometimes.
And the noise. I don't want to call it noise, actually, because it's a natural sound.
Yes,
so I hate saying
yes.
noise, but I've been in seabird colonies.
Yep.
And it can be very raucous. Indeed.
They can indeed. But the sound of the sea as well, it can be fairly rough out there.
Yeah.
So it's
and at
a real spectacle.
Quite calming. Yeah, beautiful. How many times a day would you be going up and down those steps?
We don't make people do it too often.
Right.
So we don't put out a call and say, get up here in 2 minutes. Once people are down on the viewing platform, we tend to say, okay, that's your duty for the day. So only once or twice a day.
Okay, it sounds like a perfect retreat, really, in many ways, actually. And you're engaging with people at the same time and you're experiencing nature firsthand.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
contributing to our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's a real eclectic mix of people that visit the Seabird Centre, but also an eclectic mix of people who actually volunteer there. And that's part of the beauty. So this is a call out today, really, for people to come and experience Rathlin who have never been to Rathlin from the island of Ireland. We love to have local people who can not only talk about the seabirds, but also talk to our visitors about what else there is to see on Rathlin and on the North Coast and the great island of Ireland as well, because many people are just visiting whilst they're travelling around Ireland. So if we've got local people who can give them the heads up on what they could be doing in their next week, it's really nice to have a good mix of people, some from here, some locals, and some from away who've got different stories to tell. We're very lucky. We get a lot of volunteers through the summer season. But our main problem with getting volunteers is at the start of the season, before people are really looking at sort of taking 2 weeks off for their summer holidays. So we are able to be very flexible in April and May. If people don't want to commit themselves to a full 2 weeks in that timescale, we can say, OK, well, we'd be very happy to look at whatever you could do for us. So if you just want to come across for a weekend or during the Easter holidays, then we would be happy to work with anybody and look at those dates, because there probably will be availability for shorter term stays than the 2 weeks.
So how do they apply?
If they look at our website, so rspb.org.uk/volunteer-rathlin, then all the details are on there, or they can get in touch with me here at Northern Ireland HQ, and that's colin.graham@rspb.org.uk.
Well, all the details are there on your website,
yes,
and we'll make sure we'll put a link on ours, and that's rte.ie/Mooney. Colin, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure. Thank you.